Was erected in Elberton, Elbert County, Georgia, United States of America, unveiled on March 22, 1980, have etched into their hard granite stones a simple message to mankind, and it is presented in 8 different languages so the majority of mankind may be able to understand its message. The sponsors of the guide stones expect these granite giants to endure and pass along their message for hundreds of years. The astronomical aspects are as follows. The 4 large upright blocks pointing outward are oriented to the limits of the migration of the moon during the course of a year. An eye-level oblique hole is drilled from the south to the north side of the center gnomon stone so that the north star is always visible, symbolizing constancy and orientation with the forces of nature. A slot is cut in the middle of the gnomon stone to form a window which aligns with the positions of the rising sun at the summer and winter solstices and at the equinox so that the noon sun shines to indicate noon on a curved line. The capstone includes a calendar of sorts where sunlight beams through a 7/8 inch hole at noon and shines on the south face of the center stone. As the sun makes its travel cycle, the spot beamed through the hole can tell the day of the year at noon each day. Allowances are made because of the variations between standard time and sun time to set the beam of sunlight at an equation of time. The site 7.2 miles north of Elberton on Highway 77 was chosen because it commands a view to the east and to the west and is within the range of the summer and winter sunrises and sunsets. The stones are oriented in those directions. The wording of the message proclaimed on the monument is in 12 languages, including the archaic languages of Sanskrit, Babylonian cuneiform, Egyptian hieroglyphics, and classical Greek, as well as English, Russian, Hebrew, Arabic, Hindi, Chinese, Spanish, and Swahili. And we looked up and caught one of our buddies on patrol up here near the area.
Oh, don't you know they have fun?
Come on.
Yeah. About 30 or 40 feet away from the guide stones, there was a placard there on the ground with a time capsule buried beneath it that gives all the statistics and the pertinent information about the guide stones themselves. One particular thing aroused my interest that where it says here the time capsule was placed 6 feet below this spot on, and the date hasn't been filled in yet, to be opened on, and that hasn't been filled in yet. Okay, and there we have it for the Georgia Guidestones. Okay, to continue, now we're going to take a look at the University of Science and Philosophy for Inquiring Minds, for those of you who would like to see it and see about the grounds and some of the publications that they have there. I don't know whether you've actually seen them or not. Susan and I took a ride over there one day, and like the Guidestones, we had a real tough time finding the place, but we eventually found it. Here is Walter Russell, younger and older, and a picture of Lau as well. While we were there, we picked up a few publications from their, they have kind of a little bookstore, and this basically is a castle, and one of the rooms has the information from Walter and Lau Russell. We noticed when we went in there predominantly that the emphasis was placed on Lau Russell. Walter's books were laying around, but most of the information, basically, was about Lau. And we know the story behind that. Some of the books we picked up were The Secret of Light, A New Concept of the Universe, and these are his scientific teachings, The Book of Early Whisperings. We also have a catalog, and we'll send you the catalog. A number of publications that I believe they send to their students called, can we see these, called Light Waves. And this is the newsletter of the University of Science and Philosophy. Here is a look at the photograph, a photograph of it, and then we'll go to the video and go right on up to it. Okay, so let's take a look at the video. University of Science and Philosophy, Swannanoa, Palace and Gardens. And we go on up a little ways, up on top of the mountain here, the road, clouds are moving in. And here's a look, the front's partially obscured by the trees, but we'll see the rest of it and the rest of the tape. Big old castle. This is obviously the front, and the I look at the grounds.
Marble steps.
Susan pointed out some of the accoutrements.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, the bird.
Sweet wings.
Let's go around back and look.
Okay, I want to get the front of this.
Okay, once inside, I had to make this brief because I don't think he liked the idea of me being in there with a camera. So this is just a quick look around the lobby and the steps at the end of the hall. And right here, I'm going to hold this for just a second and explain that this is the room where all the Russell materials are kept. And to my left is the cash register, and they're basically just sitting around on tables and kind of in bookshelves. It's kind of like an afterthought. But they have here all the books that he's written and some of the works that Lau has written, as well as the course material, the mail order material, and copies of the newsletter Light Waves. Okay. I see.
And has a Tiffany window.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. In 1912, it's estimated to be worth about $100,000.
Hmm. Kind of real dark in there, and we couldn't really see anything. Statues and little crannies and corners.
West Virginia. And here's the entrance to the gardens, out behind the palace.
After they closed, we were allowed to go in the back
and take a look at those.
Film a little bit.
As we get to the top of the first flight of steps, little courtyard here. Okay. Coming up into the next little plateau,
than I'm out there.
Yeah. The statue of our Christ. Try to shield him from the sun. Love you one another. Appropriate. Out in Walker's backyard, folks. Here it is from a different angle. And this sits right up on top of the Blue Ridge Parkway and Interstate 64. As we slowly pan around here and take a look at, here's the back of the palace. And some of the woodwork is in need of repair. Out behind the statue, Susan's down there somewhere. Okay. And the grounds on out beyond. And another view of Walter's home from the back. Little areas on the end here. Cute. There goes Susie. Another look out to the gardens. A little waterfall here. May peace prevail on earth.
Oh, it's in four languages.
Sign language.
Chinese on this side.
And another language here. I don't know what language that. And here's no doubt what this is. Okay. Nice little gardens out here.
Where those steps go.
It's interesting. When we were talking to the guide, he was telling us that Walter Russell was single until he was for 50 years. That I think 27 was it, Susan? When he 26 or 27
yes,
when he got divorced or whatever. And when asked what was going on, we were immediately focused on the works of Lyle Russell. And we've got a tower up here, folks. Out in the back. As we look some more at the grounds. Out behind the castle, here's a little footbridge. A little kind of an overgrown pond right here. It's pretty. I'm up on the top here, has four rings, and I think we know what that's symbolic of. In the wave. And one more look at the courtyard coming in. And Susie's sitting at a little place to sit down.
I think this would be a nice place to sit in the morning.
Yep.
When the sun's in the east.
And we see that it's just about in July here. The house must face the east.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the back of the house probably faces somewhere west. whatever that means, I don't know. Fountain. Full of symbols. Looks like a knight. A lady with something. A lady with a scroll.
Look over here in the middle, the lion. That's where the water came from.
And a place to pray in.
A lion.
Get
the lion,
yeah.
In the middle.
There's a lion in the middle. Okay, here's where we were. Garden's off to the left. Here's the side view of the castle. And what we have here, folks, is a view from the mountain, so to speak. And it's just like that on the other side of the palace, too. The place sits right up on the peak, looking down on two valleys. Isn't this beautiful? Okay. While we're here, here's a view of the little courtyard out.
The north courtyard.
The north courtyard. Okay, this is the north courtyard. It's beautiful.
That's what I call it.
Correction, this is the south courtyard. And a view out of these windows would give us, duck down, okay, right on out here.
South, Virginia.
South. There's some houses down there.
I'm sure they were.
Gives us an idea. They weren't here at the time, I'm sure, and a little drive that goes around. And here's the north courtyard. Here is a side of the front view, facing east. And we're looking at it from the north. And here is the front yard. And the drive's coming up, partially obscuring this old castle. Okay, the fog started moving in just almost within minutes. The sun went down, and here came the fog. And Susan's just reminded me that the statues inside the palace were sculpted by Walter Russell. And this is driving back down to the access road. And before we go, this is Dr. Okilo. We're going to switch gears for just a minute here. I've got a short piece of film that I think you'll really find interesting. It has to do a little bit with radionics. And this is the book I'm going to read just a little bit to you from. The author is David Tansley, who is a chiropractor. Let me read in the foreword of the book what he says. The great error of our day, wrote Plato, in the treatment of the human body, is that physicians first separate the soul from the body. No one could make that accusation against Dr. David Tansley. His view of the true nature of man as being a complex amalgam of the energies of the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual levels, intimately associated with and indeed one with the total sum of the cosmic energies, comes through loud and clear. He continues that the search for the cause of disease must extend beyond the purely physical into the realization that each individual exists not in a state of isolation, but is swimming in an immense sea of cosmic energy of which he or she is an integral part, and in doing so is a part of all his or her fellow creatures. Have we heard this before? He goes on to say, disease is here viewed not as the consequences of external attack, but as self-created, out of patterns
of thoughts and emotional attitudes and the healing of that disease as being the sequel to the correction and rebalancing of the energy systems of which the individual is composed. This is pretty interesting, and I'm going to show you a short piece of film done by a fellow by the name of Jerry Friedenstein. I filmed this at a global science thing about 7 or 8 years ago down in Orlando. Jerry Friedenstein distributed these radionics devices, and Dr. Young will have to basically explain what is radionics, but my understanding is that it's a small computer that can read vibrational frequencies, which they call rates. And I've seen a big thick book, and somebody somewhere along the line has developed specific frequencies for all the organs in the body, the main frequencies and the harmonics and everything, and has developed the correct vibrational frequency, if you will, for a specific item or organ, etc., in the body. Now, the way they do this is they use a host, either a hair or something from you, or a photograph. Now, a photograph is composed of silver halide crystals, and crystals harbor frequencies. So from analyzing the photograph on a little plate inside the computer or a host, the computer can read the frequencies and determine which ones are out of balance, and the correct frequency then can be broadcast. And the concept is that you don't have to even be near the machine. You can broadcast, and it'll find you any place in the universe. Mysteriously, after Jerry Friedenstein sold about 50 of these to the government, he mysteriously had a heart attack. So his son now is carrying on his little business up in Ohio, and they sell hydrogen peroxide and items treated with radionics devices. With that said, I'm going to go right onto the video now and share Mr. Jerry Friedenstein with you, and I think you'll find it an amazing piece of film.
It's not like a standard homeopathic substance.
Let me show you a couple of things. We were talking before we got off on the side here about analyzation, about analyzing a substance and finding out whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And we use for that a unit called an SE5. We still train people with two-bag instruments and stuff like that, all types of instruments. But this is the most cost-effective instrument on the market by far. And let's just see something. I'll just show you something here, how we use it. Okay, let's say this. What do you call it, nectarine?
Yeah. I don't taste like one.
Curling floater. Okay, the vitality of this wondrous fruit is 263. Okay? 263. Somebody want to write that down, please? Well, we're going to have some other numbers here. The chemical poison index level is 69. And the metallic poison level is at 83. If we take this wondrous stuff and wrap it in a piece of aluminum foil, of course we're supposed to do that with all of our foods, right? We're supposed to wrap it in aluminum foil for storage and all that good stuff. But it'll make a change in food in about a minute, believe it or not. Aluminum foil will make a change in food in about a minute. So we see that when we analyze that to begin with, if our vitality is is higher than what it was. What was it? Two something.
263.
So if our vitality is, say, 500, and we eat something with half that vitality, it's going to pull down on our vitality, isn't it? Now, that's not saying that the body can't weasel some mineral out of it in one way or another, but then it throws it into the colon to get rid of it, and you don't have a bowel movement for 2 days. That's down there emanating those energies for 2 days. Now, that's dumb. I don't care how you want to call it. That's dumb. Everything emanates energy. Okay, let's see what happens here. The instrument is still set on metallic poison, and it's at 131. Chemical poison is now at 108. And you see, we're right underneath this fluorescent light here. Okay? And the 949 is at 187.
That's vitality.
Yes. The vitality of it is down to 187. Now, I'm going to show you something now. This will take you about 1 minute every time you eat something. But it's worth your effort. Everyone says, well, the Bible might mean something, or religion might mean something, but, you know, there's no way to prove prayer or anything like that. That's dumb. You know, that's for those freaky type people. Well, I'll just show you something else. Father, we thank you for this nectarine. We know that it was made for man's good. You designed it and made it for the betterment of man. It was your design. It was made for purity and for help for him, Father. Man has destroyed it and ruined it with his way of thinking, Lord. We ask you to cleanse it, purify it, and make it good for man once again, to show these people the power of your prayer. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. Now, if we look at the general vitality of it, since that's where the instrument's setting, it's at 673. The chemical poison index is at 9. And the metallic poison index is at 11. It takes a little bit of time, ladies and gentlemen, before you eat something, but you better get in the habit in the world that we live in today. If you expect to survive this world, you better get in that habit. Now, that's still a long way from being where it should be.
I should let me pray for dinner.
What's that, man?
I should let me pray for dinner.
You could have had me pray for.
We only ask him to bless it, though. Does that take care of all the rest?
Well, you got to do it what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart. It's not, you know, as long as it's not something canned, that's the name of the game. You don't need something canned. It's what's coming out of you. It's your energy is what is doing. God has given us dominion over the earth and the fowl and the animal and every herb-bearing tree. He has given us dominion. We're to bless it. He has blessed us. It's up to us to bless it. That's the position he has put man in. So we do it through his power, but it's through our word that it happens. It's our spoken word. That's the most powerful thing that we own on planet Earth, is our word. And he's the one that put the power into it, not man. We'll let this run through twice, at least. It won't clean it all the way up. Well, I should have had you bring it through.